my loves, and welcome back to another episode of Awaken My Soul podcast. Today, I'm so excited to share with you such a rich and full episode with a newfound sister, Amy Guerrero. I'll tell you a little bit about Amy, and then we will jump right into the episode to hear all of the golden, juicy nuggets she had to share with us. On a messy, wild journey to heal all her trauma by the age of 40, Amy stumbled, pun intended, into a conscious, sober lifestyle and into her deeper purpose to teach people nervous system regulation. She was confident from much lived experience in treatment centers and inpatient facilities that no single approach to healing and living a conscious lifestyle would work for her. So why would it work for anyone else? Today, Amy guides people to heal past traumas, to feel more freedom, pleasure, and purpose while creating healthy, thriving relationships. Outside of running her coaching business, Regulate with Amy, you can find her practicing what she teaches, cooking healthy, delicious food, practicing yoga, playing outdoors, and strengthening her connection to herself to serve the energy of love and teach others to come home to themselves. Without further ado, here's Amy. Welcome, Amy, to Awaken My Soul podcast.
Hi, it's so good to be here.
So lovely to have you. To kick off this call, I would love to hear what awakens your soul in this human body.
I think this is such a fun question to navigate too, because my soul's always been awake, but my body goes to sleep often, right? My nervous system gets scared and it contracts, and it's like, how do I live in this world as a human being? And oh my God, it's so scary out there. And even just like tuning into like the move that I just made this week, it's like Mother Nature is what wakes my body up, what reminds me to like be here now, to be alive, particularly where the land meets the water. Mm-hmm. Is like the spot where I'm just like, I am alive. She is so much bigger than me. And I am the chaos that she is. You know, it's just like, it's that magic. Last night I had to go back to where one of the houses that I own is. And like, as soon as I got there in the water and I saw the water, it's just like my whole nervous system downregulates. So then I feel my soul, my body, and my mind kind of go doot, 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 and align. And it's everything to me.
And it sounds like where the elements meet, the water and the earth, the sand, there's like a beautiful space you're able to tap into this alignment with your soul. And I'm curious for you, if you're able to access that away from where the elements meet.
Yeah. It's interesting because the very first time I went to treatment, I kept on telling the counselors, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go 30 days without seeing the ocean. And so I really attuned to her inside of me to remember that she was there. And every day one of the counselors would say, I love this man. He'd be like, Amy, the ocean's still there. Amy, the ocean's still there. And that, even him telling me that every day, was that reminder to attune to that feeling, that ventral anchor of her within me, so that I could keep going. And that was my very first treatment center where I started writing my regrouven methodologies. I did not stay stop drinking then after that, but I did. It was that first moment where I could feel that I was actually the creator of this journey within me. And the very first thing that I did when I left treatment was went to the ocean, to Ocean Beach in San Francisco, and was like, okay, you're still here. Thank you.
Amazing. So there's so much here. It sounds like the imprint stayed with you. And what an incredible human to remind you that it's always there. And I
Yeah.
want to get more into your journey around how you got to where you are right now. What led you to where you are?
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's a long story. But I'll just do this to it. Let me just start with this because there's probably a lot of people that are listening that are empathic, that can feel a lot of things. And really, what led me to where I am today is that it's that like I could always feel life more than I could understand life. I didn't understand why the humans behaved the way they did. I didn't understand why the systems were created, but I could feel the yes and the no. And I was forcing myself my whole life to live in the no's. Like, because they're part of the system, part of the structure, and that's how you make money, and that's how you do the thing, and that's how you get love, and that's how you get, all the fucking things. And in order for me to live in my body, I used alcohol. And just normally, like everyone else did. But then I became chemically dependent on alcohol, like real deal chemical dependency, where I could not wake up and not drink, like first thing when I woke up, because I would shake so bad. And like being this successful human on the outside with her own businesses and a teacher and a yoga teacher and all of these things, teaching basically like how to live in the body, it was the one place where I wasn't successfully living in my body because I was using something to connect with, the world. And thank God I became chemically dependent because it would not bring have brought me to my knees in the depths of going down. I have been down, like horror stories down. And I had to go there. It was just my path. And when I was on my way up, no one was teaching me how to live in my body. They were teaching my mind how to stay sober and how to call myself all these names that I did not agree with. And they were trying to tell me to memorize all these statements so that I would never drink again. And I was like, fuck this. This is not going to work. I need an embodied experience of how I'm going to live consciously and emotionally sober in this world. And when no one was really meeting me there, I just was like, I got to write this myself. I need my own map. And so I started creating my own map. And it took a couple of years to like flush my map through. But then when I did, I stayed stopped. And then I started teaching others how to do the same.
Incredible. I'm curious for you on that moment where you're so down in the trenches of it all, what within you knew that something had to change? How did you know that it was time to do something about it?
It wasn't that I knew, it was that, I touched when I touched the depths, I also touched God, like really touched God. And it was like, you've been playing in the spirit world, because I was in the spiritual healing journey before I became chemically dependent. And I decided I wanted to meet my birth mom before I was 40. And that's what really kicked off the chemical dependency, was like my ego got involved and like I can do this and I can power through. And honestly, I wasn't successful at dying because that's what I was trying to do in those 2 years. And like the light bulb moment was like, medically, there was no reason for me to be alive when I would arrive at the hospital. They're just like, how are you still breathing? And God was like, you've got work to do in this world, girl. Wink, wink, nod, nod. And finally, I literally, I blew a four that day that I showed up to treatment. I was like, I'm not successful at dying, so I have to live like I've never lived before. And that was the stayed stop moment. And then my fiery sacral energy, once I was sober and detoxed and everything, I was like, I'm gonna start this business. And then 3 months later, I did.
Amazing. And correct me if I'm wrong, you tried all the different things, right? Like the 12-step program, all the different things. And they were all speaking to your mind. And what was missing was the somatic approach of dropping into the body and being with everything that you've been avoiding. Does that feel accurate?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it was just like, it was so bypassy to talk to my mind, in my opinion, right? Like, I'm so glad it works for people. It just didn't work for me. And I knew if it didn't work for me, it was probably not working for other people because I'm not unique.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's just like, I need the lived, trusted experience within my own realm, within this vessel, that it's possible for me to experience the same things that I used to experience and actually be able to hold it and move through the world without collapsing into my favorite coping mechanism, my favorite survival strategy, which would be to escape my body somehow, to numb my body somehow. And gosh, like, it was just a non-negotiable, because I was like, I don't want to live if I'm not going to be able to enjoy life. And I just didn't have any networking, any grooves in my body that knew how to fully embrace sex and music and like high intensity, like vulnerable situations with my heart open without a substance in my body. I was brilliant at doing it with a little glass of wine or a little toke of this or a little snort of that or Xanax or, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'm the best dancer in the room, right? But not really. But I wanted to be that without anything. And that took growing my capacity. And that isn't taught. You don't show up at treatment, they're like, okay, we're going to expand your capacity to live like you've never lived before. They're like, we're going to teach you how to survive and get by one day at a time. Fuck that. No, thank you. I mean, yes, it's one day at a time for everything and everyone, but I wanted to do much more than survive.
Yeah, and you did. And I love the name of your program, Regroovin', how it's literally rewiring, adding those grooves to living a life where you can be with the difficult things, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And build your capacity.
Yeah.
I can relate to your story. My last podcast episode was about releasing marijuana after 10 years. And I so relate. And I'm sure other people listening can so relate around waking up, wanting the thing to feel better. Because why not? Telling yourself the thing, the excuse, oh, I'm just doing this today. My dreams can wait. I'm just doing this today, putting it off and continuing the pattern. So what would you say to someone that's like, oh, I really want to quit drinking, or I really want to quit smoking, or they're in that place of like, it's not bad enough, but I know I'm meant for more.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Oh, I love that. Like, the reason Regroovin' started was so that because it doesn't have to get bad enough. Like, that you were just like, I want to release marijuana. Thank you. It's like parting ways with someone you love, but knowing it's not your person. Right? And that reverence that I parted ways with alcohol with was reverent. I love alcohol. I'm so grateful for the spirit of alcohol. But what I wanted was way bigger than that relationship. And I believe deeply in adding in before taking away. So adding in your desire, adding in some beautiful, healthy, nutritious food, adding in more connection and co-regulation, adding in like how you're going to spend your time when you were smoking or drinking or snorting or sexing or whatever you're ready to release. Add things in first. Because the nervous system, when we just take something away, it sends the nervous system into shock. And a substance like marijuana takes 12 months to completely detox from the body. Like, sleep is a motherfucker for the first 6 months for people that are habitual smokers. And like, if you haven't added in, you're going to feel so malnourished that you'll pendulum back to the old behavior because it'll feel too hard. So I believe in a very gentle, soft approach and to add all these things in and to give yourself so much permission to like gain 5 pounds, have more sex, masturbate more. Like, it's not like go choose one thing and not the other, but pleasure your physical body while it's detoxing Instagram. Whatever it is you're releasing, it's going to be a detox. And when we're detoxing, we need nourishment, like profound nourishment. And nothing excites me more than when people stop before they hit some kind of weird bottom. Mm-hmm. It's so reverent. Yeah. Thank you. That it just like, yes, please more.
I love that you can get creative before it gets really bad. We have a choice. And I know people in my life that I really care about, clients even, family members even, that they're in this like cycle and they don't have any physical evidence of it being bad. And how would you say, being a supportive role in their life, what can you do to support someone that doesn't see it being a problem or wanting to change?
Yeah. It's like this is where I practice what you teach all day long, right? Like, just be the light. Be the light. Because, you know, if anyone ever told me that I was going to be like abstinent from alcohol, I feel like you're crazy. Like, it's like a part of everything that I do, right? And now it's just like, a lot of my friends still drink and do drugs, and I'm just like, rock it. You know, I do say things like, it's not as sexy as it was when we were 30. Now that you're pushing 55. Like, I'll play with them with that, but I will not ever be like, yo. And but they, by being the light, they come to me. So I can't tell you how many people from high school have reached out to me, from elementary school, people I can't remember, that are like, I'm ready. I'm like, awesome. And that's only because I don't tell people. It's kind of like, you know, my partners, when I finally stopped mommying them, I started having like incredible connection with them.
That's amazing.
Right? Yeah.
So that leads me into the nervous system and how it relates to conscious relating. I have a few points I would like to cover here. And the first one being, someone, like we were talking about mommying, right? This like controlling tendency, micromanaging, and it can show up in relationships. It can show up in day-to-day life, right? How do you have someone first acknowledge like, hey, I have this tendency, if they're blind to it, and have them overcome the victim consciousness? Because what I noticed, they kind of go together.
They totally do. So we're talking about someone to help them understand that they're behaving in that way because they don't yet see it.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's interesting because if we go towards the victim consciousness first, right? Like, the nervous system might not be able to handle that. So they'll get very defensive. If we say like, hey, can you back off a little bit? Then that fight response will come in. And they'll be like, I have to defend myself. I've done this and da, da, da. So I like to go to the body, to the nervous system first. And just be like, what does it feel like for you when, you know, your partner never takes out the trash or doesn't iron their clothes or whatever the thing is, doesn't put the toilet seat down, or when, you know, when these things that feel, and the first thing they're going to say is, I feel out of control, more likely than not. And I'm like, oh, explain what that feels like to me. Oh, I start to feel like my stomach going in flips. I start to feel my jaw tighten. I feel myself getting pushed forward. I feel like if I'm not going to do it, no one's going to do it.
Yeah. I have to do it all myself.
and then that internal family system part, then you're victimized within. Like, I have to do it all myself. And like, da, da, da. Like, it's so hard being me. What does that feel like in your body? Right? That feels heavy. That feels like I want to put the covers over my head. And I'm like, okay, great. And then how do you respond? What behaviors happen? Oh, well, then I'm riding her ass all day long because she can't fucking do the thing. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh, you're daddying her. Right? You're victimized by her behavior. Then you start persecuting her. So I go in through the system and the body so that they can feel themselves in the sensationality of what happens, then see the behavior, then say, oh, I don't want to play in that triangle. How could I do this in an empowering way? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe I could pick the battle. Like my ex-partner in Boulder, like, I called it the trail of his name, you know, like the trail of Jay. And I was just like, you know what? It doesn't bother me that much that he doesn't like to put his stuff away. I'm just going to put it away because it's not that fucking big of a deal. I'm not willing to die on this hill, and I'm not going to mommy him about it. I'm just going to do it. And it's so beautiful because I would put stuff in their homes, and then 3 weeks later, he's putting everything in their home, in the home. Like, and I'm just like, well, that worked out beautifully. I never said anything, but Amy from like, you know, 19 to 37, she was like, you know, folding socks and putting them away and then resenting them for it. And like, you know, like doing all the weird shit. So I think it's just like, it first is like, what is it in my body that I can't stand this?
Mm. So, I mean, there's so many things here. It's like, if you've witnessed someone in the victim spiral, just in story mode over and over and over again, do you ever feel like there's a way to pattern interrupt, and as you said, bring them back to sensation? But what if it's someone who's not asking for it, or you're not coaching them per se, but they're in your life? Do you kind of just witness it and hold them with love? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Unless it's affecting me in a way where I'm like, it's time to release this relationship. Like, I'll just be really vulnerable. Like, one of my very close family members is in a pattern right now. And like, everyone is like, will you say something? And I'm like, no. Right? She knows my number. She's been watching my Instagram. Right? Like, let her come. And that's taken wisdom, practice. In my 20s, I was telling everyone what to do. I had just found like nutrition and yoga and like all the things, and I was like a trendsetter. No one was doing this stuff yet, so I was just like you know, I was preaching to everyone. It was so annoying. And I was like landmarked and like, I mean, I was just personal development. Because I wanted to recruit everyone because I was lonely. Right. But then instead I would just get a bunch of MDMA and invite people over. Yeah. I just had to, it was just so much preaching for such a long time. And like, I think as leaders, it's like, how do we start to learn how to practice what we teach and embody it so deeply that like we can feel each other and we don't have to say anything, that we shine the light for each other within each other. And then we just lead from that place. And I want to be in your presence because I can feel you, but I don't need you to tell me what to do. Just keep shining your light towards me because it'll turn my light on brighter.
Mm, beautiful. Do you ever feel like you've been shining your light for years and nothing's changing? You just continue to shine your light.
Well, in how part of what took me down was being victimized by that.
Mm.
Because I really thought that by meeting my birth mom again, that like I would be able to fix it, right? Because my light was so bright and like I knew all this stuff. And, you know, I didn't think she was actually bipolar. I think that, you know, it was trauma in her body. And like, if she would like listen to the resources, then her and I could have this like amazing relationship and then I would be okay and she would be okay and the whole world would be okay. And it was just like, instead I was in treatment 3 months later. Right. Yeah. And so, but that's not a reason to put my light down. It was like, my approach was all wrong. I am not God. Her path is her path. Yeah. But being a trailblazer is no joke. It's no joke. It's lonely.
Yeah. It's interesting with the family dynamic. I love my family. I had an incredible upbringing, and yet there are still things, right, that can trigger us with our families. And we just had the holidays as well. And there are relationships we want to continue to nurture and deepen. And then we put ourselves in the container of that. And then we feel the trigger and the reminder of like why we disconnect. And so that's interesting to play with. And I'm curious for you, with when it comes to those tender relationships that you want to nurture, how do you navigate family when that can be really triggering for people?
Yeah, I love, I mean, just thank you for sharing your experience too, because it doesn't matter how great it was. Like original incidents, original emotional traumas, like they stay with us forever, no matter what. And so it really becomes a capacity thing. Like, how do I be love in my, you know, like I'm in service to love. So it's like, how do I be love and let them be them? Right. Knowing fully that I only have this many hours. And then I get full and I've got to go. But it's my personal responsibility to know what I need, how I need to be fed. How, like, even like when I show up at family events, like no TVs on in the background, like no bright lights. Like I've got this whole thing that I just tell people, like, in order for me to be in the room with you, this is what I need. And it's okay if you can't meet it all the way. But what do I need to bring to the party so that I'm comfortable? Right? I bring my own food. I bring my own water. I bring everything. Like, I'm a walking suitcase of everything that Amy needs.
So relatable. I bring my own dish. I bring my
ice chest. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like, I have a weighted blanket, a humidifier, a sound machine, earplugs. I'm just like, I'm a sensitive fucking being. You know, my mom at Christmas this year, I felt so seen. She's like, can you turn that down? Amy's nervous system doesn't react well to that. And I was like, just my stepmom, who just like it's so beautiful because then they stop calling you weird and they just love you for it.
Yeah.
So, and of course we're going to trigger each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But like now it's just like, but I can just love it.
So well said, like bringing everything you need to the situation, the environment, to tend to your needs, because we're responsible for that, and ask for the controllables to be attuned to best suit our bodies. I love that.
Yeah. And if they roll your eyes at you, can you hold that? Because they will roll their eyes at you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is this diet forever? You know, maybe it is. So another piece I want to talk about with the nervous system is when we're in this shame spiral around what other people might be thinking of us. And what I'm thinking in particular is like the next day after opening your heart vulnerably and sharing the depths of your soul with someone, and then you're kind of hyper fixating on, did I say too much? Am I too much? All of that.
Yeah.
How do you disengage from that?
From the thoughts.
From the thoughts. Spiral.
Yeah. Onwards. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's a body thing, but then the rumination like gets bigger. I'm going to put it really simply at first, because I think that this is important. Like my mantra is don't be weird, but be weird. Right. It's like, sometimes I'm just like, if I give them all the sciencey shit, it's like too much. But it's like you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I've got a vulnerability hangover. I'm such a piece of shit. I'm never going to be loved. I'm not lovable the way I am. I shouldn't have opened my legs that way. Did my pussy smell? Like, why isn't he calling me back? Or they're like, oh my God, she's rejecting me. Why doesn't she love me? Is it because I couldn't get it up last night? Is it because of this? Da, 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 da. Right? Like, they're just two different things for the masculine bodied man and the feminine bodied woman. But they bring up all this childhood shame, all this intergenerational shame. And then we ruminate on it and we ruminate on it. We make all these assumptions and we're closing our heart and we're shutting our nervous system down and we're going into this contraction. And I like to just send a text and be like, I'm about to make up all these weird stories. Are we cool?
I love that.
Or something weird. Right. And most of the time I'll receive something back that's like, ha ha ha, we're cool. Right. Or a phone call. Thank God. I was thinking the same thing. Every once in a while, and this happened to me with a man in March, they can't hold it. And so the permission I give myself at this point in my development is I'm going to say everything I need to say, even though he can't hold it yet. And so I gave myself full permission to leave him a voice note and tell him how deeply painful it was that he couldn't show up because he was feeling shame. And I was just like, it just hurts so bad. But it takes capacity and practice to not go with my anxious system of, did I do something wrong? And rather, all of you is welcome here. And it's so deeply painful to me that you can't show up and just be like, I really like you. And I got scared because that's what happened. And I'm just really open. And so it can freak the fucking men out, especially in sex, you know? And I'm just like, can I hold it though? Because me holding myself is the most important thing. And my opening is for me, not for him. It's taken years for me to really understand that. And celibacy was probably the best teacher of that. Yeah. It's a really great question. I can answer it in 200 different ways. But I think that everyone relates to sex and texting and dating. And so I think that's a great example.
Yeah, like, why isn't he texting me back situation, or the girlfriend you poured your heart and soul out into and you're just like, wow, why did I say all of that? I think we've all been there, the vulnerability hangover the next day, but like, can I communicate how I'm feeling and check in through a text? Can I hold myself? Am I doing this for me? Am I doing this for them? And I love what you said about the permission piece, like giving yourself permission to voice it. Because I'm such a over communicator, I'd rather say it than not. And sometimes I catch myself, you know, being like, okay, well, why am I saying this? Is this for me? The betterment of the relationship? What's driving this? So I love what you shared there.
And may I add one thing of like, if you don't have access, because you're in such a rumination, just a really great exercise is to write out the story. Like, he said this and she said that, or I said this and she said that, or, you know, just like write out the play that you're playing out in your head and then read it to a trusted friend. And they'll just be like, oh yeah, that's not happening. But it's good to like see the pattern and write it out, and then you can feel yourself, and then that'll bring you back into your body, and then you can be like, hey, are we cool? And I mean, usually it's cool, right? It's a survival strategy to close ourselves to from the opening, because being open is scary.
Yeah, it's vulnerable.
Yeah, I mean, the animal body is like, no, thank you.
Yeah, I love what you added there around journaling it and really witnessing yourself or sharing it with someone. And even that can give you more insight as to like, what piece of me is actually coming forward here? What piece of me is actually wanting love around this? So I love that. I know for me, when I quit weed, journaling was like such an ally to witness myself and be with everything that was coming up. So journaling, just such a powerful tool for so many things. Another piece around relating in the nervous system. There's so much juiciness here. One more.
Yeah, there is. I could talk so much about it. Yeah.
People pleasing. I know for me, I call myself a recovered people pleaser, and yet there's tendrils, right? There's little pieces, fragments that come forward. And what I'm currently witnessing in my own life is this, what feels like a push and pull between housewife, business owner, of like, please my husband, get everything done around the house, make the house perfect. This is how I contribute to the relationship, the household. And then I have this business over here that wants to get done, my dreams, my ambitions, right? This back and forth. And so I'm curious for you in business and in relationship, in the household, I'm not sure your dynamic around relationship, your personal dynamic around that. But if you've experienced that and how you would navigate, like, my dreams come first, and I'm also going to take care of this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can talk about this. Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, I just want to add a piece of this in, because what's coded on your nervous system that we call people pleasing has been coded on you intergenerationally, and let's just say in this particular dynamic of how the women in our lives have shown up in relationship, right? I, for me personally, I didn't have a role model or any coding on my system that it was okay for me to come first, right? So there's an undoing that needs to happen in the system so that the new groove can really be there, of just noticing and naming, like, well, I don't know. Like, my partner, for, we were on and off together for 20 years, like, and we met in high school, and then we started dating and like really got serious in college and started living together. And like, everyone was like, y'all are gonna be together forever. And we were together for a really, really long time, on and off a bit, but like, we got into the dynamic very early on of like, I'm the housewife and I'm the full-time student, and I was managing an apartment building at the time, and I had the capacity for it all, but it was like too much for my system. But I didn't have the map on how to put my stuff first. So it's like, first we just need to identify, like, I don't know how to do this. Let that be okay, because the nervous system can get so overwhelmed in this, like, I'm supposed to know how to do this. Well, no. Like, not too long ago, women were property. We couldn't vote. I mean, like, it's not that long ago. We're recoding the way that women show up in relationship and business. And in my latest partnership, where, like, my, at the time, my work was really scaling, and he was on a break. And so he had all this free time and I didn't. And I was just like, oh my gosh, how do I balance this? Cause like, I just want to go hang out with him all the time. And I had to really check my inner teen, because she just wanted to go play. And she was just so happy to go play. And suddenly my finances were getting ignored, and I was spending like I was a teenager. And I remember, like, 3 months into the relationship, I was like, I've got to button things up. Like, hold on. Like, I got to find this balance. And, like, you know, I had to sit down and we had to have a conversation. And I'm like, this is what I'm willing to, like, do. And, like, I want to just hang out with you all the time. But, like, and I want to do for you because, like, oh, I love being of service to a man. Like, I just love it. It's, like, what I'm meant for. I love partnership. I love fucking just doting on them. Like, it's not a mommying thing, it's a pleasurable thing for me.
Yeah.
But I also love doting on my business.
Yeah.
Right. And so it was just a lot of really straightforward, direct conversations. And I think I went over like my finances just to really see what happened while that was all happening. And it was like $30,000 somehow, like, you know, got missed in my business and spent over here. And I was just like, wow, I didn't do a great job of that. I was not financially sober at all. But it's a learning curve, right? I think it's way less people pleasing and more like, how do I have a direct conversation with you about like your Goldilocks? Like, how much is enough for you? And then how much is enough for my business? And then we just play, because I don't really believe that balance is possible. I think things are like always out of balance a little bit, but like one thing goes out of balance, like you kind of, oh shit, I haven't like made eye contact with my partner like all day. Whoops. Like I don't even, sometimes I'd leave for yoga in the morning and then I wouldn't come back until it was dark outside, you know? And I'm like, did we even touch today? You know? And I'm like, that's not how I want to operate. And then, okay, let's fine tune this. Let's do this. It's just a practice.
Yeah. It almost feels like a sigh of relief hearing you say that, like we don't know and that's okay. And we are figuring it out and grooving that back in like baby steps. And the unwinding piece almost reminds me about what you were talking about in the beginning around the regrooving, like the crowding out with the goodness. And so it almost feels that way. Like there's an unwinding that's happening, but you're also like bringing in slowly, bringing this back in more.
Yeah. Like, cause the spiral, right? Everything's a spiral. Yeah. Like life is a spiral. Everything. And it's like, in order to be lubing that spiral while things are unwinding and dying and composting, we're adding in this nourishment. And so the spiral can keep going. It's when the spiral gets like, then people are like, I'm stuck. I can't move from here. And I'm like, your nervous system is frozen. Let's lubricate it. So it become flexible again. And honestly, I think that there's just too much information about what conscious relating is. And it's like, we get to choose what that is based on our level of consciousness as individuals. Right. And then make it up from there. Cause it's just like, it doesn't have to be this hard. I look at my parents celebrating 44 years and like, I don't want their relationship particularly, but like they've got a lot figured out and it's easy. It's not complicated. Like, and they don't make it complicated. And I'm like, I have so much to learn from you.
That's beautiful. Celebrating them 44 years strong. And it's so beautiful to look at relationships, not necessarily ones that we want to replicate, but look at like, okay, what is working for them? Because there's a lot of beauty in that.
Yeah. And they still have great sex, you know, and talk about it. And I'm like, yes.
Celebrating that big time.
Yes.
I want to be like 100 and still having sex, you know?
Absolutely. Please. If I'm 100, let me please be having sex.
120, still going. So we were talking about business a bit, like bringing business into relating and now business into the nervous system piece. I heard you say on a post recently, self-sabotage, procrastination, avoidance, resistance is really avoiding responsibility. And that was an aha moment of me of like, oh yeah, I do that. And it's like, what are we really resisting? We're resisting what it's going to take for us to hold that, right? Like having to show up, and also the fear of losing what we've created. And what I really admire about you and your work is like, every time I see you on Instagram, it seems like you're sharing something new. You've built this capacity to continue to show up for yourself over and over again in your business without burning out. And I'm curious how you got there.
Yeah, it's a good question.
You experienced the sabotage, procrastination, and all of that. If you avoided responsibility, and how you got to a place to be able to hold the responsibility that you do now.
Yes, I've been to all the places, like all of those places. And I can still subtly, I think what something to really let everyone know is the more you practice this, the more subtle the pattern gets. So you've got to be like ninja, like, oh my gosh, I'm like, this is a subtle form of procrastination. And I approve of it. It became that deep approval process. I mean, I burned my business down when I saw the pattern of, these people were trying to get from me. Like they felt my energy and they were like painful students and they did not want to do any work. And they had this like thing where they were just like, I'm not getting results. Like, when are you going to give me the thing? And I'm like, you're trying to take from me. You can't have this. You have to regroove. You got to do your homework between calls. Like, you got to choose this shit moment to moment. And you don't just get to like they do on Harry Potter, like all the magic movies. Like, you can't just take my magic from me, right? It's like, you've got to actually practice your magic. And so I turned away. I refunded clients. I was like, nope, we're not the right fit. Here's all your money back. Thank you. Goodbye. I turned away $100,000 worth of business. I was just like, no more. And that built so much capacity because I felt like so scared. And so like, how's it going to work from here? What am I going to do? And then that built my nervous system of like, I'm not moving from here. I am a 1-3. Like, I'm going to go get information for the rest of my life because I'm supposed to do that. Right? Profile numbers. I'm just like, and can I stop being bought? Because there was a pattern in there where I was sabotaging myself by letting people buy me instead of guiding people to their truth. Right? And that I was a guide, but subtly, because the money felt so good and because they were good people. Like, these people, there's nothing wrong with these people. It was just like, they weren't willing to do their own work. And in that time where everything was dying, of course I felt procrastination. And of course I went into old grooves. And of course I felt scarcity. And of course I was like, how am I going to like reinvent myself and be liked on Instagram? And I lost followers. And I mean, you know, like the whole thing happened. But my thing was like, this is all growing my capacity to hold the truth of what I'm teaching. And the quantum leap isn't necessarily for everyone, but it doesn't mean it's not for me in a different way, right? It's just that, like, can I commit to my way that works with my nervous system, that I can hold, that I can sustain, that I am reverent to? And this is what I'll tell every business owner, and this is what Lead with Love is all about. It's like, your way is way different than my way on purpose. However, we all have a nervous system. And if we're leading from here, that reverence will not stay. And the sabotage and the weird behaviors and the lying and the withholding and then the not practicing what you teach, the procrastination and the collapse and the burnout and the high $30,000 a month and the low $300 a month, all of that will create a business that is not sustainable. And I'm here for people to create a new way of life that is sustainable, so that they can live to 100 and still have sex.
Yes, please. And for those that are listening to this, she pointed to her mind saying, like, not navigating your business or leading your business with your mind necessarily, right? But your nervous system and love in your heart. It's powerful. Because for anyone who's in the coaching world, we are inundated with information of, like, this is what you should do, this is what you should do. And what I keep coming back to is, like, what works for me? What is my way? So I love that you brought that forward, especially as a human design. We're talking about profile and numbers. For those of you not familiar with what that means, the human design world is really amazing. You can dive into that. But I'm a projector and you're a Manny Gen. And so the way you operate in your business is going to be completely different to the way that I operate in my business. And I feel like I'm surrounded by so many generators, right? And they're just go, 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 go. And I so admire that. And I'm like, no, that's not my way. Keep coming back to my way. So I love that you bring human design into your business.
Yeah. Yeah, I get everyone's charts, all my students' charts. I have them all in their files. Like, I just think the more information that I have about the whole organism and the whole environment of someone, then, like, that's how we're going to create a new way of life, because it all makes sense for you. You make sense. Everyone out there listening, you make sense exactly as you are. You know, like, we don't need to go recreate something for you. You have all the answers. But there could be, like, some really, like, just frictiony stuck places of fascia in your body that just are blocking you from remembering. And, you know, what we do is we work with the body to start to release that. And then you're like, oh, here I am. Oh, like, it's just like you come alive.
And those blockages in the fascia that you're talking about, do you feel like those are energetic, past traumas, or anything, like, specific you can bring awareness to, like resentments? I heard you talk about resentment can block the flow of energy. So all of those, did I miss anything else that could be blocking people?
I mean, even injuries, right? Even the time where you were playing soccer and that, you know, it hit you on the head or you got knocked out by blah, blah, blah. Like, the body doesn't forget anything, right? So sometimes if I'm in a particular posture in yoga or in posture release work, and all of a sudden I'm like, tears are falling down my face. I'm like, I don't even know what this is about, but who cares, right? Just let it come. Because every response wants to complete. Yeah. So let's worry less about what it is and more about, oh, I have incomplete responses in my body and I'm down to release them. This is beautiful because my partner, who's still, I'm friends with all my partners. Like, I just, everybody stays around in my life, but he actually stopped smoking pot as well. And he's been conscious for 7 years now. And he is so devoted to his body. And it's just like, the other day I talked to him and I gave him this thing and he was like, holy shit. Right. Like another new thing to help me release things. I'm like, we don't need to know what it is. We don't need to know why. Like, you just want to surf for the rest of your life. Let's make it so. Right. I just think like we get so caught up in this like excavation process. And somatically, we don't need to think so much. Like, if we can let the body just do what it wants to do and complete the responses, then the body will do it. And then you can just be like, okay, I feel better.
Yeah. And that can look like shaking, crying, moaning, growling, like punching a pillow, or even running, right? You can lay on your back and like run. So many people run for so many years because their body is running from something still. And so just to allow it to happen, to complete that stress response cycle, can be transformational.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then we'll experience less illness.
I love the metaphysical with ailments. I go to my book, You Can Heal Your Life by Louise L. Hay. She has her like metaphysical chart. It's so fascinating.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to add to the conversation about relationships, business, and the nervous system?
I think like one thing that's really important that I want to presence in this is that no matter how much work we do, the survival strategies of how we behaved will always be there. So I just want to really remind listeners that like it's not going to go away completely. When you're tired, when your system is worn out, when your nervous system, it always wants to take the path of least resistance. So if you're maxed out in one area and your body literally doesn't have enough bars to continue regrooving, you'll just go back down the old path. And it's just a matter of like, how soon can you catch and interrupt? Like, whoops, I did that thing again. I mommied him. Whoopsie. Right. Or I'll just call it in the moment. I'm like, yo, I don't have the thing to do the thing. And so what the fuck is going on with your fucking shorts on the fucking floor? Right. And I'm just like, I have nothing left in me that I gotta just say the fucking thing. And like, or I'll tell my last partner was a trauma trained therapist. And so I'd be like, permission to be untrauma informed right now. Like, I've got to fucking blow my shit out. And so like permission, he's like, fucking let it rip. And I'm like, yeah. So it's just like, it's never going to go away. It's always going to be there to keep you safe. So no expectations out there that you're going to like fly away into fairyland and like be totally balanced and happy and have the best sex ever. And do not buy those things on Instagram, y'all. Do not buy those things. They're not fucking real.
That is a sigh of relief as well. Like, this is a part of me that may continue to show itself, and can I accept it? And can I love for it and know that it's serving me and keeping me safe on some level?
Yes.
Powerful. So we talked a bit about your addiction recovery story with emotional sobriety. Is there anything else you feel called to share for anyone that might be on that journey?
Yeah, I had a real moment this last week, I guess it was, with a student who was really struggling with the personal responsibility of truly choosing emotional sobriety. I want to speak to like, go slow. Go as slow as the slowest part of you. Find someone who's going to talk straight to you about what it is. Like, I had to really penetrate this person. And as a leader in someone, a space holder, and we've been working together for years, like, it's not always comfortable to talk that straight to someone. But he he was ready for it. His system was ready for it. Because we went with the slowest part of him for so long and we nourished him. And then when I was like, brother, stand up. It is time. Stop acting like a fucking 13-year-old and stand the fuck up. Mm-hmm. He was like, boom, I just heard you. Right. But we don't talk to everyone like that right away.
Yeah.
Like emotional sobriety takes capacity.
Mm-hmm.
We will continue to play a victim, persecutor, rescuer for as long as we do. But you have to really choose. You don't have to do anything, but if you want the emotional sobriety, you have to choose to notice and name that pattern for as long as it takes for then one day to wake up and say, I want to part ways with this pattern. But even the noticing and naming of it is emotional sobriety. It's like, I know I'm doing this. I'm just not ready to stop. Awesome. That's emotionally sober. It's when we're sneaking around, pretending like we don't see it when we do, that we get more stuck. So go as slow as the slowest part of you, but have someone there watching so that you don't stay there if you are on the path of choosing it. And always have a place where you can be totally emotional and so unsober, right? Permission to be untrauma-informed. I'm going to have a total fit and say all of the wrong things right now. I act things out all the time. And I just need to do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at it.
Absolutely. There's so much power in being raw, unfiltered, and just getting it out.
Oh, yeah.
And I love what you said about the penetrative truth, because that's what I was longing for and craving for so long, is someone to shoot it straight with me. Like, sounds like you have an addiction, and that is when the moment I was like, this will not have a grapple on me anymore. The power of someone just shooting it straight. And so it takes so much courage. So I just really commend you for holding that pillar of truth and reflecting to others when they're ready. You can feel empathically when they're ready for it. That can change people's lives. It's incredible.
And if you're a teacher, a practitioner, guide, whatever you call yourself out there, like, be connected to the thing that's bigger than you, whatever that is. Because like, after I do something like that, especially in a group setting, I'm like, they were ready for it. Many of you might not be. I am here. The space is okay. And that came through me from something bigger than me, because my human doesn't have, that's crazy to talk to people like that. But when they're ready, like you said, you needed that. You wanted that. You craved that. You desired that.
Yeah.
But it takes another really embodied human to hold themselves and saying, it's time. If you're ready, I will be here. I'm not going anywhere.
Powerful. I was going to ask you that next question around God. Like, how does God play a role in your work?
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, period. Yeah. It's like, not the religious blah, 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 but God, oh my gosh. There's just no possible way that I could be who I am in the world without that connection. Yeah, it's like so tender and sweet to me. Because it's like, and reflected to me in Mother Nature and in love. It has nothing to explain it. But boy, I can feel it.
So you connect to God through nature, through love. Is there any other way that you connect to God that helps anchor you?
Like music, like my friends that are just creators, and then my students that are creators, and like what they create, and I'm just like, oh my God, like you can just feel God inside of them and then feel it inside of me and like their creation. And I've always loved music and been in the music world for a long time. And I would always be like, you made something out of absolutely nothing. Like, that is only God. And they'd be like, I believe in God. I'm like, yes, you do. You just don't believe in like the religious God. Yeah. So I just think humanity is a great way to remember God, because we're all such creative, beautiful beings.
Absolutely. That's one of my favorite energies, is just connecting to creative life force energy that feels like so in flow, divine flow with God. Just like you said, creating like something out of nothing. That is complete magic. Like, humans were created, you know, from something so tiny into this, here we are, you know,
inside your body, you know. It's just like, oh my God, what is happening?
Miraculous. It's incredible. So is there anything else you wanted to add to creating a new way of life versus all these quick fixes? You kind of talked about it earlier, how like, you can't take from me. You have to do the regrouping. You have to do the work. Is there anything else you wanted to add to that before we move into some more rapid fire questions?
Yeah. The only thing I would say is that it isn't as hard as your mind tells you. It isn't as hard as your mind tells you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just isn't. We complicate things, especially if you've got these top defined. Sometimes it's just like swirling around in there. I'm like, whoa, calm down.
Yeah. The mind loves to tell stories to keep us in limitation.
Well, to keep the body safe.
Yeah.
It's just conserving energy. But but the thing that sucks about it is that it's taking so much energy to keep telling stories that then you really don't have any energy to regroove.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just like, I'm going to give you 3 months to ruminate. Go nuts. They don't sleep. They don't eat. Like, they start to deteriorate. I'm like, are you ready to stop? Like 30 days in, they're like, yes. I'm like, okay, cool. All right.
Yeah.
It doesn't work.
Yeah. There's such a beauty in just pulling up a seat for the resistance, pulling up a seat for whatever's coming through and being like, I'm sick of it. I'm ready to move.
Yeah. Yeah. And approve of it.
So going out of the mind, dropping back into the body. Is that what you would say? Or how would you
articulate? Yeah, as long as the body's a safe place to be, right? Like, some people might not be there yet. Cool. Right. Find someone who's going to help you navigate coming in, but isn't going to force it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. So if someone's stuck in the mental, and yet they want to regroup, they want to move into the next piece, would you say just a baby step after they've held up a seat for that piece?
Yeah. And that's where the nourishment and the adding in comes. It's like, start reading a fantasy novel or something, right? And so we can give the mind something to do, and love doing, so that then we can start to go in here. Right? Because if someone has that ruminating pattern, we can't just cold turkey stop it. And so I'm like, well, let's find a beautiful book. Start reading that at night before you go to bed. And then, you know, where are your toes while you're reading the book? Where's your breath? How are you sitting? Right? So then I kind of play with just a little bit of distracting them, but giving their mind something before we just take away rumination, because rumination is a survival strategy.
Yeah.
The overthinkers of the world, like, you make sense. I am not one of you. I'm an overfeeler, but like, I get it. I really get it.
So going back to what we said before, continuing to nourish and bring in pleasure, even a beautiful book. Okay. Yeah. Do you have some time for some more rapid fire questions?
Yeah, let's go.
Okay.
I'm a little nervous.
Welcoming it. What's the number one misconception with the work that you do?
That it's hard. That you have to be sober. You know, that it's going to take forever.
Yeah.
That it's going to be like this deep excavation process that it's never going to end. And like that you're going to have to stay down forever. You're going to have to relive your past traumas. I can tell you so many. And I'm just like, maybe, but no, it's a misconception.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, everything that I do is beautifully woven into titration.
Yeah. Leaning in, leaning out, leaning in, that kind of thing.
Expansion, contraction. Like, you know, then you get more versed at it and then we play more. I mean, it's called regrooving to be fun.
I love that name. It's like,
yeah, it's so perfect. Yeah. It's just like, it doesn't have to be hard. Yeah.
And what are some daily practices that help you strengthen your connection to yourself that are in service?
That are in service to what?
Love.
Oh my gosh. I just want to sit here with that. You know, I think reminding yourself that you make sense is probably one of my best and favorite practices. You know, like you spill water, you spill coffee all over your white shirt. I make sense. Your kids are like, you know, no one's getting out of bed on time and you're 30 minutes late because you always are. That makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Right. Just the simple act of saying like, I make sense. You make sense. My dream would be that before in schools, we don't say the Pledge of Allegiance anymore, that the principals and the teachers take turns coming to the microphone that goes across the whole school and says, kids, you make sense. You are love. Have a great day. All right. Like if we can just start instilling that in children and in our school systems, can we change the world that way? Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. That's one of my favorite things to say is like, that makes so much sense. And you're valid. Like everything you're sharing is valid. Yes. Powerful and affirming.
Yeah. Yes.
What is the greatest lesson that you've learned so far?
Nothing makes sense. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not in control of anything. Like truly, I'm not. I'm just not. Yeah. Like turn it, even like going inward and seeing my part in it, like I didn't have any control of why my behaviors and patterns started the way they did. I can just continue to choose differently.
Beautiful. Yeah. And still you play such a powerful role in your business. So it almost seems like you're in this like co-creation, like you have your fire lit, your torch lit. You take responsibility for how you move in the world, knowing that you're kind of just like in this co-creation with God.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if I can, you know, I mean, my ego gets involved. I have to just be like, Amy, let's just go, keep going. I'm holding the torch, y'all, if you're not watching. Like, okay. You know, like anytime my ego thinks like, oh, we've got this, like, no, we probably don't.
Yeah. So many questions around that and how you navigate your business, but we're running out of time.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So what is the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Kevin, my teacher of like 16 years, will just say, get back in the river. Let it take you. Yeah.
And what does that mean to you?
It's the same concept. Like I'm not in control. Right? I can actually navigate the rocks and the river just fine, but the water's going to take me wherever I'm going. God's going to take me wherever I'm going. Yeah, it's when I'm like on the side of the river, like, I think there's a shortcut over here. He's like, and I still, you know, he still teaches me today. So he's like, get back in the river. What are you doing? Yeah.
Like surrendering to the mystery in a way.
Absolutely. 100%. But I think that from a nervous system perspective, I will say this, that I've started working with Kevin before I was just early in nervous system work. And so surrendering without the capacity in my system isn't the right flow for me. I needed the capacity to then actually understand what getting in the river meant. So it took me about 10 years to understand what he meant by get in the river. And it wasn't until I physically had the capacity to hold that, that I could actually get in the river. So he's watched a lot happen. Yeah, he was there for the whole down.
Wow.
Yeah. He was like, he told my dad, like, get out of her way. She needs to go down. My dad was like, fuck you. They had like a whole big altercation at my house. I was really drunk. But it was beautiful because it was true. And now my dad really gets that.
It's powerful.
My dad was a first responder. So of course he was responding.
He's trained.
He's trained.
It's amazing. Like, even if we have the best intentions and we're going through our own stuff, watching someone go down, it's like, we're standing in the way between them and God, essentially. Like God,
yeah, and that's what
has their own role and play to play out. And I love to cook, so I'm curious, what was the last healthy thing you cooked up in the kitchen?
Oh, it's right here still. Salmon and farro with celery and kale and carrots. And green goddess dressing.
Delicious. Amazing. And to wrap up, do you want to share any offerings that you have?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah, that whole thing. We're in business. Yeah, it's a really simple path to into my field. It's watch me on Instagram, totally free. Come into School of Regulation, which has hundreds and hundreds of hours of pre-recorded material. And then one coaching call with me a month. Then there's Roots, which is like getting deep and into the roots and creating and cultivating a new foundation to live from. And then there's Lead with Love, which is like, I'm ready to have conscious relationships and an on-purpose business. And I want to lead from my body in love.
Beautiful. All of those sound incredible. And I'll go ahead and link those in the show notes so they can check those out further. And where's the best place for our listeners to connect with you on Instagram?
Yeah, I think it's Instagram. It's Regulate with Amy. That's where I spend the most time.
Perfect. And I'll link your website below as well.
Thank you.
And just want to ask if there's any other message that you want to leave our listeners with before we wrap up.
I feel like this is such a full call.
So full.
That the message that I want to send to you is like, come back for more later. Yeah, like tag this podcast, save it somewhere, and just on your next long drive, like come back for more. Fast forward, rewind. Like, this was a very rich conversation, and it would not have happened without your beautiful projection and your guidance. Yeah. Thank you. Like, I feel really full and also very rich right now from your attention on me. Aww. So y'all, this is gold. But take what you want, leave what you don't. Come back for more, save it, and come back for more later.
Yes, I second that. Come back for more. Pause if you need to. Integrate this beautiful information. Thank you for all of your golden nuggets. Thank you for your presence, sharing your wisdom. Super grateful for you.
Yes, thank you.